Thank everyone for their service this morning in our worship. I just thinking about just the gifts that God has given us. You know, don't ever count us or discount us as we're too small. God's given us some great gifts in our praise team and in our musicians and just in the people who are just committed to serve. And that's always a blessing. You know, sometimes in big churches, you got big problems. In smaller churches, problems probably not as great and not as big. But just thank God for just what he is doing in the lives of the people who are here. Amen? Today, we're going to be in the book of Matthew. And we're going to talk about building on a firm foundation. And today, I wanted to start off a sermon by just saying, you know, I don't know if everybody kind of understands the sermons. If you don't, please see me. If there's something that you don't get or you don't understand, I always want to make sure that God's word is going forth the way it's supposed to go forward. So if there's something that you don't understand, something that you need more clarification on, please feel free to ask. And it just makes me work harder at just making sure that the message is clear. And so, you know, when someone says, I don't know what the sermon was about, or I don't know what was preached on, that makes me a little troubled in my spirit sometimes. So if you're having trouble understanding, just let me know. I won't feel offended, not at all. Not at all, because I'm not a perfect vessel, amen? And none of us are. And so I want to talk about building on a firm foundation. So we'll be in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. If you could stand for the reading of God's word, that would be great. Once you have it, Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. And it reads like this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for this lesson about building on a firm foundation. We pray, God, that you would help us to hear it, and God, that we would build with integrity. And Lord God, I just thank you for those who are here. I pray, God, that our hearts would remain open to hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right. A foundation. And we're talking about now a foundation of a house that Jesus is talking about. In this particular pericope of scripture, and pericope means verses or passage, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus has talked about many, many different things and lots of things having to do with character and who we need to be. And this is kind of the summation, the sum of everything. That's why this particular group of verses begins with therefore, because everything that's come before, Jesus says, you know, if you're listening to everything that I've preached before, therefore, do this. If you're listening, therefore, do this. So it's an important passage that sums up everything that we are to do. Now, a foundation. A foundation, a proper foundation does more than just hold a house above ground. A proper foundation keeps out moisture. It insulates against the cold. It resists movement of the earth around it. And one more thing, just like our God, who is our foundation, it should last forever. I was quoting from builders like general contractor Tom Silva of This Old House. Remember that old show, This Old House? He said, you ought to take foundations seriously because without a good one, you're sunk. So without God, you're sunk. For Tom, good means steel reinforced foundation walls and footings made of poor concrete. Do you know you can have bad concrete? People can pour bad concrete on your driveway, on your footings, and your house ain't gonna stand because the concrete is contaminated. By comparison, all the laboriously assembled foundations of stone, brick, and mortar that have supported buildings for centuries, even the walls of concrete block that most builders were using when This Old House was launched 25 years ago, are just crack and leak-prone dinosaurs. But a good foundation requires a lot more than digging a hole and pouring some concrete. It has to be tailored to its site like a custom suit, taking into account soil conditions and water tables and even the quality of the backfill. And what I would say then is that once you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that you have a perfect, perfect foundation. A perfect, perfect foundation. Three Category 4 hurricanes have made U.S. landfall in 2017. Harvey, Irma, Maria made landfall in Texas, Florida, and Puerto Rico, respectively. This could be the first year to have three retired Atlantic tropical storm or hurricane names since 2008 because they caused so much damage. Foundation is critical. But the way you build is as important as the foundation you build on. Foundation is critical, but the way you build is as important as the foundation you build on. If we probably look at Texas and Florida, we didn't see as many houses washed away as in some place like Puerto Rico. Or the devastation was not as great, certainly devastating, but just different. You know, Puerto Rico still, there are probably places that don't have the things that they need, the essentials that they need. I remember also Hurricane Sandy. Remember Hurricane Sandy? 5 years ago, last week, I think it may be the 30th or the 31st of October, 5 years ago in 2012, one of the most costliest storms to hit the East Coast. Sandy, people are still recovering from Sandy because insurance hasn't paid or whatever situations are going on, people can't afford to come out of their pockets to fix their homes and fix their basements. And some people have to what? Lift up the house, re-pour the foundation, and reset the house so that when another storm comes, the house won't what? Fall. So foundations are critical, but the way you build is as important as the foundation you build on. In the book of Proverbs, the 11th chapter in verse 3, it says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity or deviousness or underhandedness. Build on a foundation with integrity. You have to build on your foundation with integrity. Some of us, most of us in here, I think, we could say we've accepted our foundation as Jesus Christ, but you know what? Sometimes our workmanship is kind of shoddy. The roof's in disrepair, leaky, the windows aren't insulated. Everybody ever watch Property Brothers? I love them. So you know, when they're always trying to renovate a house, and it, you know, you don't know what you're getting a lot of times if you don't do an inspection. And sometimes people don't do an inspection because they really want the house. So you have a house that's built probably, oh, back in the 70s and earlier. Some of those houses are pretty old. And so when they get to tearing out the walls and stuff, they find the beams not right. And the house is being held up by one beam for the whole second floor. You know, things like that, that they have to then go and lay other beams so that the house doesn't sag. They had one house where the kitchen wall, somebody had done a cutout so you could see through the kitchen to the family room or living room, which was fine, but the wall was beginning to sag underneath because there was no support. So when they got in there and tore it out, they're like, wow, this wasn't even being held up by anything at all. And so sometimes when we build and when we do, we don't do what's adequate to support the structure, or we don't do what's prudent. We don't build with integrity. We don't build with integrity. And if we look back at the scripture, you know, storms come no matter who you are. We take two people in this congregation, just two, and if we put them up here and this storm's in Denver, are you going to get out of the storm? No, you're not going to get out of the storm. The storm is going to what? Affect you like it affects everybody else. It's going to affect you getting to work, or sometimes the things that you do, it's going to affect you. So storms of life do come. And boy, I bet a lot of us know about the storms of life and the seasons that come. I certainly know about the seasons that come and the storms of life. So storms will come no matter, but your foundation will make all the difference. We all go through tough situations. We all go through seasons, but the way we walk through the valley of the shadow of death should be different for the believer that follows Jesus and different from the one who has no foundation whatsoever. So what does building on a firm foundation require? I have three things. It requires precision. Precision. Building on a firm foundation requires precision. You got to know where the door is supposed to be. I was watching one. I love building shows. So they had this house where the front door was to the side. How are you going to have a front door to the side and you walk up to the house? That's weird. That's just weird. So they did switch it because the house wouldn't sell. Because people didn't know where the door was. It was just strange. So anyway, you know, things like that. You gotta make some choices about how you build your house. You gotta make some choices spiritually about who you are. That's what I mean by precision from a biblical perspective. So you gotta what? Establish some core values. What you will and won't do, so that when the temptations come, you already know who you are. It requires precision to focus on those areas that are outside of God's will. You know, a lot of God's people just need to tell the truth. Tell the truth, not to me, tell the truth to yourself. Be honest with yourself. You know you got issues? Own up to them. You know you got temptations? Own up to them. Don't try to hide from God. Somebody was talking to me, we were talking the other day about church. I think it could have been, I don't know, it might have been my mom. And I was talking about why people don't come to church. You know, people don't come to church. You know, for me, the number one reason is because there's some kind of sin in your life. Some kind of sin. That you cannot face hearing the word consistently. So it's here and there, and you're spotty, you're coming here. I might not see you for several months, another several months go by, some kind of sin that you're struggling with. But if you're struggling with something, this is the place that you ought to be. This is the place that you ought to be. And that's what I mean about being honest with yourself, being real. Just being real. Because you know, you can't hide. Last week I was talking about the title of the sermon was If I. No matter where you go, God is there. So if you run here or there, up or down, on the wings of the dawn, wherever, God is where? He's still there. So you can't hide from him. You can try in your mind, but you can't hide from him. And so it requires precision to focus on God's will and his character. And how do you do that? You do it with his word. You do it with understanding who he is and building a life based on who you know that he is. So if you know that God is not a liar, then should that be part of your core value? Exactly. You adopt that as saying, you know what? I'm not a liar. That's just going to stop. Now, you might get caught up because things like that tend to work themselves out over time. But at least as part of my core value, it's not who I want to be. I don't want to be known as a liar. God is not a liar, so I'm not either. So that's what I mean by core values. You can't always have what's popular. You can't always do what everyone else is doing. You have to make precise choices. And to do this, you have to be committed to learning about God. Some of you, if you have not read Matthew 1, at least Matthew 1 through 7, you ought to read 1 through 7 because there's a lot of core value stuff in those first 7 chapters. Lots of core value stuff, what God talks about. So that's precision, being precise, placing things in order where they're supposed to be, taking a good look at yourself and being truthful and honest about who you are and who you're not, and asking God for guidance and help in those particular areas. Second, decision. So we have precision, decision. This is the hard part. This is what I was alluding to. It's difficult to stick to your core values. It is difficult to stick to your core values because the pressure is on. It's on for us. It's difficult to be obedient to what you know is right. But in order to maximize your life in Christ, you have to minimize sin. In order to maximize your life in Christ, you have to minimize sin. So what do we have to minimize? Things like unforgiveness. These are things that Jesus talked about in the previous chapters. Anger. He talked about anger. He talked about lust. And I'm not talking about people who are necessarily, I'm talking about people who are believers now. I'm not talking about necessarily people who are unbelievers. Do you know there are a lot of believers who are angry? Filled with lust. I don't mean necessarily sexual lust, but other kinds of lust. Lust for money, lust for power, lust for things. Unloving, being unloving. Hating your enemies. And Jesus says you're supposed to what? Love your enemies. Stinginess, decisions outside of God's will. Lack of compassion and worry. Worrying about money and seeking revenge and all of those things Jesus talks about. But in James 1, in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." A crown of life comes for those who stand the test. And then if we go down in James to verse 19, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. That's James. I have even further. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Direction, obedience, doing what God says to, decision, doing what God says, making it your mandate that whatever comes, you're going to do it God's way. You're going to do it God's way and be obedient about it. Third thing, direction. So we have precision, decision, then we have direction. And what do I mean by direction? You know, we all go through, like I said, seasons in life. I'm going through a particular season of health in my life. And it's not easy to move in a direction of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Everybody has challenges that come up in their lives. Everybody's got challenges. Maybe you don't like where you are job-wise. Maybe you don't like where you are church-wise. Maybe you don't like where you are housewife. Maybe you don't like your situation. Maybe you don't like your financial situation. Maybe you don't like your marriage situation. Maybe you don't like the situation with your children. Maybe there's just some things that are going on in your life that you just don't like. But you got to move in a direction of thanksgiving and praise and worship, because that's what God wants from his people. Do you think he wants you anxious all the time and worried about your stuff? He didn't create us to be that way. And so what does the word says? It says what? Be anxious for nothing, right? And everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Tell God about it. And he says, tell me about it with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that passes what? All understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So, the more we dwell on our trials and issues and ways that do not show our trust in God, the more we tend to go off on the wrong track. The more we begin to see problems with the building because we allow anything to change our direction. It causes us to be confused and anxious. And so what's important in direction? You know, a lot of people are like, well, I don't know what I should do. I don't know what choice I should make. But you know what? It's just like God's word. Given the facts, given what you know, you make a decision based on what? What you know. And not only what you know, but what's right about what you know. So it's not just what I know, because it's not my own knowledge, my own wisdom. It's God's wisdom and God's knowledge. So you know what? You meet some guy and you know he don't work. You know, this is kind of my pet peeve because it happens to a whole lot of women. You know he don't work. You know he smoke weed. You know he stay home all the time. What do you want him for? I'm just asking. I have another person that I know, and I think her husband has not worked in at least 6 months. Able-bodied man, 30 years old, whatever. You doing all the work trying to take care of the four of you, two kids, you and him. For real? He had to work somewhere or go. It's just, you know, just things. You know, You want to buy something. It's another kind of wisdom. You know you can't afford it. Why are you going to buy it? Why not just wait on God? Get something less expensive. Do something different. You don't always have to look like the person next door. You have to make some wise decisions about what you're doing. Amen? You got to make wise decisions. And so you make decisions based on the information at hand. And you know what? If you don't have precision, if you don't have core values, what will you tend to do? Be right off course. Because you don't have anything to stand on. This is something I'm going to do. This is what I'm not going to do. This is what I'm going to do if this comes up in my life. And boy, the pressure gets tough when you have to make a decision on something that comes up in your life. But at least you have a core value to stand on. At least. At least. So when people talk about direction, what is the direction? Direction is going in a godly direction and making decisions based on what you already know. Some of you might be making a decision on what school to go to. That's not in the Bible. But after you do your research, and after you understand, okay, how long is this going to be for me? How much is it going to cost? Am I already in deep debt? Do you know there's so many students who are in deep debt? How are they going to pay off that debt? How are you going to pay off a debt of 100 grand? For most jobs, how are you going to pay that off? Because you wanted to go to X school out of the state or wherever where the tuition is outrageous. But you know what? You have to make your decision based on the wisdom that you have at hand. So reading God's word is helpful. It is helpful because it makes you do the work. It makes you do your homework. It makes you think about, okay, so what kind of shape am I going to be in after I finish all of that? Am I going to have a job? So many young people, you go and you go to school, and I'm not downing any particular major. But why are you going to school? You can't get a job in the major. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm just me. You know, you gotta do something that's going to what? You still got bills to pay. You got things to do. You can't be borrowing from mama and daddy all the time. Hello, amen. They ain't gonna take care of you. You 35 and 40 years old. You still borrowing from your mother. I know a guy like that. I know a guy. I absolutely know a guy like that right now. He is 50 something. You're still living off your mama, man. You need to stop. You need to quit it. You know, you just gotta make good decisions. You gotta figure out what your core values are. What your decision is going to be by doing your homework, and then the direction. What direction you're going to go in. Everybody with me? Does everybody really understand what I'm saying? In the area of direction, you know, none of us are islands. We don't.
Test.
We don't operate alone. And so within this direction, you need to be accountable. There's someone who you can be accountable to. Someone who, you know, I'm not saying you can tell all your secrets. That's not what I'm talking about. But someone who you can bounce something off of, and they can say, you know what? I'll pray. Or they can say, you know what, did you think about this or think about that? Because sometimes in our own stuff, even me, I'm like, well, I think I'm going to do it that way. And then I get to talking to somebody and they're like, don't do it that way. Why don't you just do it this way? Because you know what? Sometimes what? We want what we want. So accountability is important. To have an accountability partner is important. So when something happens in your life, talk to somebody. Talk to somebody with wisdom. Just don't talk to anybody. So don't talk to your friend who don't know nothing. Talk to somebody who's got some wisdom. Because you know what? One road leads home and 1,000 roads lead to the wilderness. C.S. Lewis said that. Most people don't deliberately seek to build a house on a false or inferior foundation. They just don't think about life's purpose. People just don't think. They just do. They just react and act. There's no God in the picture. So when your storms of life come, what you build will come crashing down like the man who built his house on the sand. So many people are headed for destruction, not out of stubbornness, but out of thoughtlessness. So what can we do? What else can we do? So we have to stop and help others. Maybe your life is totally together, unlike mine. But if we could stop and help others think about where their lives are headed and point out the consequences of ignoring Christ's message. I know some people in here who, when they meet someone and they get to know someone, they start talking about Jesus Christ. We all ought to be that way, because we all want every human being to know that there is a firm foundation. You don't know how many people are hurting. How many people are hurting? And I was watching something last night. It was on I think it was a Hillsong channel, and they were talking about some young women. And it was a sisters and something, I don't know. But anyway, it was interesting because nobody knows a lot of times how deeply people hurt because they don't have a firm foundation. And in one of the girls, she would take 5 showers a day to wash away her tears. And nobody knew. And then she would come in the church and stay for about 20 or 30 minutes and then leave. And you know, a lot of times people want to talk about you. They want to talk about the fact that, oh, look at her. She only stayed 20 minutes and she left, but you don't know what's going on in that life. You just don't know. Grew up without a dad, grew up with abuse or whatever the situation was. We just need to be more compassionate toward people because we're the ones who weather the storms. We're the ones who people are looking up to say, I don't know how she does it. I don't know how he does it. I wonder what they have that I don't have. And we ought to be prepared to tell them, amen? So building on a firm foundation is just as important as laying a firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Make sure your building is tight. Amen. Everything is in order. It's never too late. And we all have something that God wants to order. Amen. Amen. That's our lesson for today from Matthew 7. If there's something that you don't understand,